Lekuta Sichas Chelek Yud Parsha Vaychi Sicha Beis Alakosa Vayikra Yaakov Elbona Vayemer. In regards to the pasuk that says that Yaakov called his sons Vayemer, and he said, Osvu Hey Osvu Vagida Lachem Es HaShayikra Eschem Ba'achris HaYomim, gather together and I will tell you what will happen with you in the later days, or in the end of days. Hikapsu Ushmu, gather together and listen, and so on. And then he goes on to give them the brachas, each one according to the bracha that he gave him. Amar Azal, so in regards to these psukim, it says, our sages tell us, Huva b'pirush Rashi b'shinuyim, and it's brought in Rashi here with some changes, as will be discussed further on in the sicha. Bikish Yaakov legalis levonov keitz hayomin, Yaakov wanted to reveal to his sons the end of days. And the Shekhinah was removed from him. He wanted to reveal to them when Mashiach was coming, and the Shekhinah left him, so he couldn't say it. So we have to understand. How do we know, in the simple meaning of the pasuk, that Yaakov wanted to reveal the time of Mashiach? It would seem that the simple meaning of the pasuk, in when he says, "I will tell you who habrachas binyan maksuvim lahalom beparsha," the brachas which are listed, which he goes through in the parsha. So why do we think that he wanted to say something else to them, which he couldn't tell them? Yesh mefarshim, some say, shayichochehi ma'amilim ba'achas hayomim. The proof is from the words at the end of days, shemuvonim hu keitz hayomim, which means the ba'achas hayomim in later days could mean or does mean the end of days. K'dimetzina b'Tanach shehaloshen achas hayomim pirusha keitz hayomim, as we find in Tanach that the meaning of achas hayomim means the end of days. Avakosh shaloyim came, but it's difficult to say that this is what Rashi means, because aleph ein zoi chocham aspika. This is not proof enough. It doesn't always mean Kate's the end of days. It sometimes means in later days. Like in the words of Bilam, where he spoke to Balak, he told Balak, let me tell you what will happen to your nation in later days. And he certainly didn't mean in the end of days. He meant in the future, the near future, the distant future. Umedaber b'David, as we know, because he speaks there about when David will arise. So that is not the end of days. That's merely in the future. Meaning that Bilam was talking about David. Beis, another thing. Afilu im noima shakam ba'achas hayomim kavanosu l'keitz hayomim. Even if we'll say that over here ba'achas hayomim does mean the end of days. Maya yichochash Yaakov bikesh legales ze levonov. How do we know that he wanted to reveal to them when it's going to be? Hainu loidim mosay yiyah keitz hayomim. That he wanted to tell them when this is going to happen. Dova sheh libelu puma legalia. This is a matter which the heart does not even reveal it to the mouth. In other words, it's for those who know it, they keep it quiet. Harei efsher loymar, it's quite possible to say kipshutay, and the simple meaning would be shagam milchatchilu lebigish lahagidlam ella es hasheyikra. Perhaps he only wanted to tell them what would happen at the end of days, not when the end of days will be. He just wanted to tell them, explain what will happen even at the end of days. In fact, some of those events he did tell them in the brachas that are told in this parashah. But Rashi lahalan, as Rashi does reference that further on. So why do we think that even if ba'achas ba'yomim means in the end of days, why does that necessarily mean that he wanted to tell them when that would happen? Maybe he was just telling them what would happen. Gimel, kiven shepirush zeh mevi'e Rashi shaloi ba el lepshuto shel mikra. Since Rashi gives this interpretation, and Rashi we know only comes to explain the simple meaning of the psukim, we have to say that this idea that he wanted to tell them when Mashiach is coming has to be also understood in the simple sense, in the simple meaning of the psukim. Ba'bir bazeh. So to explain this. Since Yaakov said to them, gather together and I will tell you what will happen in the end of days, and then he repeats again the same idea, he kofzu ushmu, gather together and listen. Why did he tell them to gather together twice? Obviously he was telling them two separate things. The first one is gather together, come together and I will tell you, and then a second thing was gather together and listen. And that these two subjects are so different from each other, that there has to be a separate preparation, gather together for the first subject, and then the other one, which is such a completely different subject, he says again, gather together and I will tell you, and listen. And it's obvious that the second thing that he was going to say to them after the second time gathering them together, after he kaptsu, it would be logical to say that what was the hikaptsu, the second gathering, was to tell them that which he tells them immediately following that, which is the brachas. And not that he osfu, the first expression of gather together was referring to the brachas, because that's said previously, and then he says again gather together. So obviously the second gather together is to tell them the brachas. So what's left with the first gather together? So therefore it must be something else and a completely different subject. But if he was going to tell them two things, why does the pasuk not tell us what the first subject was? It just says gather together, and then he didn't say anything, and then he calls them together to give them the brachas. Why didn't he tell them what he was going to tell them? Therefore, to this, our sages tell us that because Yaakov legalus of one of Kates Ayomin, he gathered them together in order to reveal to them when the end of days would be. But in the end, he didn't reveal it. Nation is talking about the Shechina because the Shechina went away from him, and therefore he didn't relate it to them. And therefore, it doesn't say anything in the Torah what he said to them as a follow-up of the first gathering together. And therefore, now we repeat it to them, gather together again. But if anachad, this is a completely different type of gathering. Not with the same usage of the word heosfu. And heosfu is a term which is used when the gathering is in order to hear things which come from the Shechina. Bashros Hashchina. And so now, since that didn't work, so hekoptsu is a more simple gathering, not that kind of gathering which is so heavily loaded with hashras hashchina. The shimu, and then therefore come together and listen, and then he told them the brachas. But we still need to understand kefal aloshin shabakos of zem ashmenu shiratz aloyim alem davar shabapoyel loy amrei. The repetition of the word gather together tells us that he wanted to say something but he didn't say it, and therefore it's not written in the parsha. But how do we know what it is that he wanted to tell them? That he wanted to tell them something which is so secret that nobody tells it, and how do we know that? Maybe he wanted to give them other details, more than he had previously revealed to them. Not previously, but of what he told them later, maybe. Maybe he wanted to tell them more details of what would happen. Not when it would happen, but what would happen in the final days. For some reason, he was unable to tell them that. But how do we know that it is what the subject that he wanted to tell them was when the Ketz Hayomim would be? So the explanation of that is Issa b'Zayir mevur b'Chassidus. It's written in Zayir, and this is explained in Chassidus. Be'inyan gimel al-Shaynes, Dibur, Amira, Vahagoda. In regards to the three expressions, which all seem to indicate the same or a similar idea, which is to speak, to say, and to relate. Dibur, Amira, Vahagoda. The Hefresh B'neihem, the difference between them is Dibur, Hu B'peh. To speak is to say something orally. To say them, Amira, Hi B'lev. Amira means with the, in the heart. Something with that an emotional expression. Vahagoda harei hei milin de chukmasa. Hagoda relates to matters of intellect. Machalukiminayim. One of the differences between those three types of matters. Dibur v'amira efshashiyu rak mechatzeinis hanefesh. Speaking and saying, which come from the mouth, what you say or the emotion, are things which can come from the outer dimensions of the soul. Hadibur hud bapeh. Dibur means you say something with your mouth. Over there, certainly it's possible to say something with your mouth which you don't at all mean in your heart. So therefore, that's for sure from the chitzenis. Afilu amir b'leib, but even when you talk about speaking from the heart, even though you may be emotionally involved in what you're saying, but it's possible that that in itself is not what you truly want. That's not what you truly desire. As, because it's not from the essence of the soul. As the Rambam explains, Kimavur b'Rambam, Tam ha'alocha kaif enoise achi yoyme reitzani, it's the famous thing that the Rebbe brings many times, that the Rambam says that there are certain situations in which a husband is obligated to give a divorce to his wife. Al pi halacha. The halacha says that he must give a divorce to his wife. But he says he doesn't want to. He says, I'm not going to give her a get. So they force him until he says, I want to give her a get. So what are they doing? They're doing, applying some sort of pressure. And when he says he wants to, does he really want to? He's saying, I don't want. Till now he said, I don't want to. You were hitting him over the head. So he said, fine, I want to. But he doesn't really want to. So how could that be a kosher get? So the Rambam says that because the inner, what the true desire of a yid is to do the right thing, and if Torah says that he is supposed to give a get at this time, so then of course that's what he wants. So then why does he keep saying that he doesn't want to? Ki yitzrei onsei, that's his yetzahara forcing him to say that he doesn't want to, or forcing him to think that he doesn't want to. V'lachein reitzo mesava la'aveira, and therefore he truly wants to do an aveira, because the yetzahara has convinced him that this is what he really wants. Aval ritzoinei ha'amiti bepnimi is nafshei. But the true will within the inner essence of the Jewish soul, to call Echad Rechem Bnei Yisrael, who lasts as kefir ratzon elyon, is to do what Hashem wants. V'yideiz esher kaifen oisei, and because they're hitting him over the head, mevatlim ha'oinus ritzoinei hanasa v'yideizeh, what they're doing is removing the simulated will that the Yetzirah introduced. So they got rid of that. Now his true will comes out. Now he's able to do what a Jew truly wants to do, which is the right thing. And as we see that what he said before they forced him, he kept saying that he doesn't want to. It's not that he was pretending that he doesn't want to. He really didn't want to. In his heart, his emotion did not want to do that. As the famous expression, the eye sees and the heart wants. So therefore he wants something in his heart, and therefore that's what he's been saying, he doesn't want to give a get, and he truly doesn't want to in his heart. But that saying that he doesn't want to, not wanting to, that came from the outer dimension of his heart. But deep in his heart, he always wants to do what Hashem wants. So that we see from the Rambam. So we see that it's possible that a person should truly want something, but it's not what he really wants, because deep in his heart, and the inner dimension of his heart, that isn't what he wants at all. So that's in regards to Amira. It's possible that Amira is also only on the Chitzenius Halev, the outer dimension of the Adma. She'en ken Agada. But when it comes to Agada, Shehi Bob Mepnimius Halev, which comes from the depth of the heart. And that's what it means when it says in the Zohar that Haggadah refers to the matters of wisdom. What he means by chuchmasa, the wisdom over here, is the pnimius of the Torah. Hein hama'oyreis umagalas sapnimius vasasim shal neshama. The pnimius of the Torah reveals the pnimius of the neshama, and that is what that comes from the depth of the heart, or the depth of the soul. V'cheinu gam be'inyan ha'agadah shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the same is also when it talks about Hashem ha'agadah in regards to Hashem asher pirusha. What does that mean? Hamshachas pnimius oyren sav begilui. When it says Haggadah in regards to Hashem, it means revealing that which is the inner essence of the infinite dimension of Hashem, that it should come revealed. Haggadah means it comes from the previous and it gets revealed. K'may merazal, al Haggadah meloshen Haggadah. As our sages tell us about the section, the chelik of Shas, of the Gemara, which is called Agada, which means the stories, the psukim, which are darshaned, and so on. So they say about this chelik of Torah, if you truly want to know the one who said and created the world, meaning if you truly want to know Hashem, lemoid Agada, study Agada. Because if you study that, you will truly recognize Hashem. Because Haggadah, which is related with the inner dimension of the Torah, that's where the inner dimension of Hashem is revealed, is found in the Haggadah, which is from the same word as Haggadah. So from this we understand that when Yaakov said Va'agida Lachem, when he uses the term va'agida lachem, which is the first word that he used, it means that he wants to reveal to them something that comes from the depth, something from very deep. So he wants to reveal to them something very, very deep. Which is the end of days. The end of days, of course, is something which reveals the absolute ultimate of what is the inner dimension. Gilui sasim the neshama, the revelation of the most hidden part of the neshama, the sasim the kushabricha, the most hidden part of Hashem, aidei sasim the raisa, through the hidden part of the Torah. Therefore, when Yaakov said, hey asfu, gather, which means gather for something of Ashras Hashchina, Vagida, and I will reveal to you something very deep, it must have meant this Ketzayamin. Vadayin Sarach Lahavin, but we still have to understand Diyuk Loshon Chazal v'nistalkum amen Shechina. Why did the Chachamim say that the Shechina left him when he wanted to say this? Halayim Achuvim Azeu Losses Tam Loma Legili Yaakov is Ketzayamin. What they're trying to say is, why did ultimately Yaakov not tell them the Ketzayamin when it is? So why did they have a little meimer? They should have said lechayir leim have a lehem lechayir leimer. They should have said v'niskasa haketz mimenu, and the end was covered, became, you know, covered, concealed to him. He knew it, and then it became concealed. So therefore, he didn't tell them kiyetzabeya, something like that. Umayin asinus tam shazeshin bazeshin stalkeshchina. Why do they use why did they say that the Shechina left him so that he wouldn't be able to say the Ketz? He could have simply blanked on the Ketz. Gam tzorach lo'avin arei omalehem tekefa miyad kame v'kame inyon inuvua. It's also, he immediately said to them certain things which were in the category of prophecies, things that would happen in the future and so on. Harei sheshar tzorach of Shechina, so then clearly the Shechina was shayr on him. He was able to say things which are prophecy. So what does it mean that Nistalkum and Shechina? Va'inyan hu. So the idea here is Yaakov bikesh l'galus levonov haina sayidua leketz hayamim. Yaakov wanted to reveal to his sons. In other words, he knows his sons. These are the people that he knows. In other words, but that according to his view of who his sons were, and I know my sons, because he saw them within the context of his world. He saw them from his perspective, the way they are in his world. He saw them in that way, that they are deserving or fitting. After this gathering together, that he would prepare them, and they're gathering together with, for the sake of something very deep, for a transmission of some ultimate deep secret. So he prepared them for that, this kind of a specific gathering. He saw them as people deserving of knowing the end of times. And therefore he said, gather and I will tell you. When you will come together and you will become one, and I will reveal to you in the end of days. So what happened was that from him the Shechina went away. Mimenu means from the context of this communication, this that he wanted to do now, from that the Shechina left. Hayachilus lehashkin beinyan ze gili akeitz lemata. It was removed from him the ability to bring down. The Shechina means to bring something down. He had the intention of bringing down the Gili Akeitz, so from that it was taken away from him. The ability to bring that down, to reveal that, was taken away. That's of course the meaning of Shechina, which means that it dwells and it comes down and so on. And he had the intention of revealing the Shechina, revealing the Keitz Hayom. So therefore, from that, mimenu means from that event, the Shechina left. It took away the ability for him to reveal that Keitz Hayom. Kloimar. In other words, Yaakov Atzma Yishar Saul of Shechina Yisbarich. Yaakov himself continued to have the Shechina within him, upon him. Hagilid Eden Sabaruch Hu, meaning the revelation of the infinite aspect of Hashem, Gam L'Acher Kein, even after he no longer knew had the ability to reveal the Keitz Hayom. Sharei Amalem Divrei Nevuah, because as we see, he did say Divrei Nevuah. So obviously the Shechina was still with him. The Gam HaKeitz Atzmei L'Niskasim Emenu. In fact, even to him, it wasn't concealed when the Keitz was. He still knew. That's why it doesn't say Niskasim Emenu. The Shechina, which means the ability to bring it down to his sons, that's what was lifted. In Nagila Lamata, the ability to reveal it downward, shall begin as okay, that nistalka. The Zeu Adi Baloshna Gemara, and that's what the Gemara means to say when it says nistalka memena Shechina, v'loy nista memena akates. Not that it was concealed from him. Ki rak because only the ability to bring it downwards, that's what left him. Still, they say specifically nistalka, not shchina, nistalka shchina, nistalka mimenu, from him. Even though, from the way we're explaining it now, it seems that what left was only the ability for him to give it to the Shvatim, but he himself did still have it. So why does it say mimenu? It should have said something more like he wanted to be revealed the Keitz, but his sons were not on the level. Maybe it should have said something like that. Why does it say v'nistalka mimenu shchina? Zeu gufa she'em, because zeu gufa she'em bonav ruim l'gilei haketz. This very thing, that his sons were not fitting to be that they should have the ketz revealed to them. Paul, you need the gam beYaakov. This caused a descent also in the level of Yaakov. Al derech shematzinu b'Moshe Rabbeinu, similar to what we find in regards to Moshe, Shomalei Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the Eibusha said to him, Leich reid megdulascha, said, go down, which we interpreted, go down from your greatness. In other words, that he was demoted from his greatness somewhat. And what's the reason? Klum nasate l'chagdula el b'shul Yisrael, that I give you greatness only for the Yidden. And since the Yidden are no, you know, they have worshipped the eagle, so therefore you too are going down because your whole greatness is based on the Yidden. Mekivin Shehem Einim Kidaboya, and since the Yidden are not as they should be, Hareza Gerim Lirida Gamma Moshe, this caused also a descent from Moshe, and therefore, when it was discovered, when it came to light that the Shvatim were not deserving or not fit, befitting that they should be, the cage should be revealed to them, so this caused Yaakov also to be Nistalka Mimenu Shechina, that it's somewhat, to some degree, it also affected him. Above, Omnom, however, Al Pizeh in a movement based on this, we have to understand the Kiva Shematzav Yaakov Talu Matzav Bonov, since Yaakov's level is dependent in this way on the level of his sons. Imkein Lomen Estalkem Imen Eshchina Rak La'Achas Shavikus L'Galus HaKeitz. Why is it that only after he wanted to reveal to them the Keitz, and it came out that they were not deserving, only then did the Shechina lift up from him? In other words, that he went down a level. Harei hayu b'matzavam ze gam kaidem l'chein. It's not that that's when they went down a level. They were always on that level. So maybe he should have been on a lower level all the time. Mashenke b'bnei Yisrael Moshe, whereas it's very different by the B'nai Yisrael and Moshe, that it was the sin of the golden of the eagle which caused them to go down, and therefore that's the time when Hashem said to Moshe, Leich Reid. But by Yaakov and the sons, nothing happened at the time of the brachas that would have caused them to go down. This is who they were always. So why is it only now that Nistalkem and Menashchina? So therefore, if they weren't deserving that they should know it, so then they shouldn't have been Shechina in regards to this matter to begin with. In regards to this question, we also find an example that we can take from Moshe, which will help us understand this. When Moshe came down from the mountain, the two luchas were in his hands. Aval kasher kirev el amachna, when he came close to where the people were, vayaras egel u'machelus, and he saw the egel and he saw the dancing, miyad kovdu al yodob, immediately the luchas became heavy in his hand. Vayicharav Moshe, and he got angry, vayashlich miyodob es al luchas, and he threw the luchas from his hands, vayishabereis, and he broke them. So over here too, the question could be asked: Man is chadesh ba'is hashoah. What happened at that time? That's when they became heavy, and that's when he threw them down. The making of the eagle happened long before. In other words, the day before, and so on, or hours before, for sure. V'yaseidim azu, and even more so. Moshe yada ma mizeh ba'yaseh bahar. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu even knew about the eagle when he was still on Har Sinai. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hidir, the Eibishter told them about it. They made for themselves a golden calf. In other words, it wasn't a surprise to him when he came upon the scene. Oh my God, what's happening? He knew that it was happening. Why is it that he got angry and that the meluchas became heavy only when he saw the eagle, and not before when he knew about it? Vahezver bazet. The answer is, kol oisei hazman shemoshe Rabbeinu hoyu bal yosei bahar. The whole time that Moshe was on the mountain, hoyu mufshet mikol ha'inyonim d'lamata. He was completely removed from everything that's happening down below in this world. V'lo yoyu lekesher ma'olim v'inyonot. He had no connection with the world and what's going on in the world. Therefore, the eagle, which already had happened, and he even knew about it, but it didn't affect him because he was in another world. Even though the eagle was already in the, it happened already, but Yodal Zen, he even knew about it. He knew about it because he heard about it. In other words, Hashem told him about it, so he heard about it, but it's removed. Ulam kashe yarad min ahar, but when he came down from the mountain, so in other words, now he was back in the world, in the real world. L'achaz ze gamra, and then he saw the eagle, noga b'yadavar, now it affected him. V'achakovdu yodav, to such a degree that his hands, the luchas became heavy in his hand. And therefore he got angry and he threw them away, threw the luchas down. So in a similar way it happened by Yaakov as well. Even though it's true that even before he gathered them together and before he called them, they already were not on the level that they should be, it should be revealed to them, the kates. Im kol zeh shor sod of shchina. Still the Shechina was upon Yaakov, even though his sons were not roi for that, but to him he had the Shechina in regards to that. Because since Yaakov was so completely removed from their world, that part of their world, he was removed from sort of thinking and getting down into where they are. Therefore, their lack of being on that level did not affect him and the Shechina as it dwelled upon him. But when he got ready to reveal it to them, in other words, he got close to his sons and to their level at that time. That is already a connection to his sons, and therefore at that time when he saw that they're not there, so that caused a certain weakness in him too, and therefore the Shechina in this matter was removed from him. Zion, still though, since this whole thing about gathering together, and I'm going to tell you, in other words, is all written in the Torah. Muvan shezeh sherotzi Yaakov galus against Paul pul losi gam lamata. Since the Torah does relate to it, does tell us that he wanted to do this. So then, in other words, that there was something that was accomplished by Yaakov wanting to reveal the ketz. Even down here, b'chazo Torah iron itzchus, until it becomes an eternal lesson for us too. We're told this and we learn about it all the time. Because if it didn't have some sort of an effect and an impact on our world, we wouldn't have been told that he wanted to, and then it didn't work out. If it has no shaychus, does, why are we being told? So therefore it has some sort of an impact on us too. In any case, we can understand this, because whenever a bakosha, a desire of a tzaddik, a request, in other words, he wanted to, whenever a tzaddik wants something, it never goes unanswered. So there is some sort of a response, some sort of an impact that happens from Yaakov having wanted to reveal the kates. And to this too, we can see a similarity to Moshe Rabbeinu. Bechlal Moshe v'Yaakov inyanam echad. In general, Moshe and Yaakov they sort of represent the same thing. Elosh Yaakov milbar uMoshe milgav. Only that Yaakov is on the outer level and Moshe is the pnimius of that thing. But they both represent the same thing. Yaakov on the more chitzenizdika level and Moshe on the more internal level, as is written in Zohar. So regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's told that ki al yedei tefilosoi, that through Moshe Rabbeinu davening v'eschanan, that he prayed, he begged Hashem that he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. Evron over Eretz Oretz, allow me to go over, to cross over into the land. I should see the land. Bechtei lifu b'vnei Yisrael inyan hari'iyah b'lekus. What he was trying to say was, if I go into Eretz Yisrael, I will be able to show the Yidden Elikus. If I'm there, they will relate to Elikus as something real, something that they see. So through by saying this, Paul, even though he himself did not go into Eretz Yisrael, but he still had the effect. He was able to bring the Yidden to a level where they could see Elikus, but not bepnimius, only bemakif, in the makif level. To be able to see Elikus in a way that it's integrated into them and they actually experience it directly, that he wasn't able to do. But he was able to do it in a way that, at least in a makif way, the Yidden relate to Elikus bepchinas riyah, perhaps in a shamal amaylor and so on. Okasiyam sham ba'at Yisrael shma elachukim, and as it says, as it concludes over there, now, O Israel, hear the chukim, shebepnimiyus tiyabem bepchinas shmiyah. Bepnimiyus, they can only relate to it through shmiyah, to hear the chukim. But in a makiv way, he also brought them to a level of riyah. In a similar way, we could also say what this accomplished, what Yaakov was trying to do. Samach l'stalkusik, close to his leaving this world. Avshin istalkum emen shchina, even though in the end the Shechina was lifted from him in regards to this matter. Shalchein amachakach hikopzu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov, which is why he had to follow up and say, gather together and hear b'nei Yaakov. In other words, it was no longer a year. Afopikeim bazesh amri yasuv v'agida, by saying, gather together and I will tell you, nosanakech b'nei Yaakov. He gave the ability, the power to the sons of Yaakov, to the Shvatim. In fact, to all of their descendants until the end of time, that through the Aveda of every Yid we have the ability to reach the Aveda of Gilui Hakeitz v'derech Makif, at least in a Makif way, that a Yid in this world, even though we are not yet in the time of Mashiach, but we have the ability to free ourselves from the oppression of the Umas Olam, the Yetzirah, in Avodas Hashem, that they should not interfere with our Avodas Hashem. That is within the ability of every Yid, even today, even in Golus. And that comes from the fact that Yaakov wanted to reveal the Keitz to his children. So his Mamshich, that Inyan, the Keitz, the Gilui HaKeitz, at least in the Pchinas Makiv, that we are able to serve Hashem without allowing the Yetzirah and the other and the Goyim to interfere. Ches. As the Rebbe said earlier, that he will point out some differences between the way the Chazal say it and the way Rashi quotes it in the Pirush Rashi. So now we get to that. The Pirush Rashi beParsha Seinu, and he says it in a very brief way. In the Rashi in our parsha, Gimel Shinuyim Elosh Nasas, there are three differences in the way Rashi says it and the way the Shas says it. Number one, Hishmitevas Levonov. First of all, he leaves out the word he wanted to reveal to his sons. He leaves out the word his sons. Beis Hishmitevas Hayomin. He leaves out the word the Kates. In the Gemara it says Hayomin, the end of days. Here it just says the end. And Gimel Maisiv, and he adds the words that when it was taken away in the Stalkum and Shechina, so Rashi says, and he began to speak on other things. This also, why does Rashi have to say that? That he began to say other words is obviously obvious from the psukim that he said other things. And Beis, why does he say? And he began to say, in other words, why does Rashi have to go into this? And he began to say other things. He could have simply said "V'omar dvarim acherim," or something like that. Why he began to say other things? And therefore, we have to say that since this is Rashi speaking, so everything that he says is somehow related and obvious from the Pshudush Mikra. That this is how it needs to be said, and these changes from the way the Gemara says it to the way Rashi say it somehow express the Pshutu Shel Mikra. ubekitzer, and to say it in briefly, Aleph, Pirush Rashi ba ala tevis vagidalachem. Rashi quotes the words vagidalachem, I will tell you. Vemele ein makam lahach belevanav. Therefore, there's no need for him to say, as the Shas says, he wanted to reveal to his sons, because that's obvious from the words vagidalachem. So he Ratza legala sakets. Who is he talking to? He's talking to his sons. Obviously, he means his sons. There's no need for Rashi to say the word levanav. Beis. Hachiluk beketz hayom veketz hayomin. The difference between yomim and yomin is a whole discussion. There's different places in Tanakh. It says hayomin, and some say that it means days. Some say that it means somehow expresses the right, and it has another meaning, and so on. So there's ongoing discussion about the difference between hayomim and hayomin. Here it says hayomin. And since the difference between yomim and yomin is not really relevant to this discussion, and therefore Rashi didn't want to get into that subject. So should he say hayomim, hayomin? What is the difference? Not negeya here, what the difference is. So leave it out altogether, not to get into that discussion. Even in the Medrash also it says, certainly then Rashi, which is much closer to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, which is looking for the simpler explanation, so if the Medrash doesn't want to get into the discussion of Hayomim, Hayomin, and therefore leaves it out, certainly that Rashi doesn't want to get into it. So therefore he takes away the word Hayomin, which the Gemara does say, and he doesn't say it. Or possibly we could also say that the Ledas HaMedrash V'Rashi, that according to the Medrash and Rashi, Ketz HaYomim V'Ketz HaYomim Hainu Hach, they don't really, to them it means the same thing, but that, you know, the Psukim sometimes change a letter to, you know, just change letters for whatever reason, but it doesn't really have a difference in meaning, and therefore in order to avoid, you know, should he say Yomim, Yomin, so leave it out altogether. Gimel, as far as the third question, Hayachacha the Bikish Lagalus Sakates, how did we know that he wanted to reveal the end of time? How do we know that? We said before, Ki Vagida Meira Milin Dechuchmasa, because the word Vagida talks about something that comes from the very depth, as he said before. Ein lo mokam al derech hapshat. This pshat doesn't really fit in the simple meaning of a pasuk. A 5-year-old child doesn't know the difference between that the Zohar describes about the difference between Dibur and Amira and Agada. So it's not the simple meaning of this word. So we go back to the question of Al Pipshuta Shel Mikra. How did Rashi know that he wanted to reveal the Ketz HaYomin? Since it's not, you can't say that it's all based on Vagida. As we said before, it's possible that he wanted to tell them more details about what happened in the time of in the future. In addition to the ones that he did in fact say. So therefore Rashi says, after he quotes the words from the pasuk, that we don't find that he said anything more after Vahagidalachem, ki achakachaye behizchul ba'im advarim achedim, because then he immediately, after the second words, the second hikaptsu v'shimu, he began to speak about other matters. That's why Rashi points out that he's speaking about other matters. Hahechrech she'achakachoyse haschola, move b'pshuta shel mikra at kol kach shein Rashi tzorach lefarshe shem yakem mechadosh ikibtzu kenal siv beis. That by definition, when he started saying other things, it means that he stopped saying what he wanted to originally say. That's obvious because it says again hikibtzu, as that's something that Rashi doesn't have to explain. That's clear from the pasuk that he started saying something and he didn't end up saying it. So therefore, because he started saying other things, that's the proof that he wanted to say something previously and he didn't end up saying it. So in other words, from the fact that he began to that Rashi is pointing out that he began to say other things means that it wasn't simply that he was trying to say more on the same subject, it was a completely different matter. And therefore, the what's left is the Ketzayom and something more deep, something more, even more than just simply telling them details about what will happen then, which is when it will happen. And this is also a lesson in our own Avodah. There are people that try to make the calculations that really Hashem should make about how things can work. You know, today we're much worse off. We're on a much lower level than early than the earlier generations. So therefore they say, how is it possible that our orphaned generation, orphaned in terms of Torah and mitzvahs. How is it possible that if the earlier generations were not on that level to receive the Gula, how is it possible that we'll get the revelations of the Gula? That which the earlier generations, which were on a higher level, did not get. As the expression is, the generations became better, that's said with a question mark. Is it really so? Of course not. And to this comes the lesson, that because Yaakov tried to reveal, wanted to reveal the end to his sons, he gave the ability to every yid and every time. From the time where the Shekhinah only went away from him in this matter, in other words, there was a slight elevation of the Shekhinah, until our time when there is a real Helen Behester. In our generation, when the day and age when the darkness is double and doubled again, so Yaakov gave us the Keach that even now we have the ability, the constant ability to be able to accomplish all in one moment and at one time, that we should be able to reveal the end of times in the literal sense through the Geula Mitzvah. The truth is that which we say, that those say that the generation is not really deserving of this, that in itself is the proof that this is the time for Gilui Mashiach. Why? As our sages tell us, Mashiach ba behesach hadas, the Mashiach comes when our mind is off it, and when we're not thinking about it. What that means is when we find ourselves in a time, in such a time that the seichel doesn't see, cannot understand that this is the time that it should happen. That's the hesach hadas, which is said that's dafka when Mashiach will come. The time when Das doesn't really tolerate that it should be Dafka in this time. Because the meaning of Hesach HaDas doesn't mean Chas V'Sholem that a person shouldn't be, you know, take your mind off it, stop thinking about Mashiach, then it'll come. Of course, that's not what it means. Because it's of course a fundamental thing in faith, Jewish faith, that we have to await his coming all the time, never to take our minds off his keem. So therefore, what does Hesach Hadas mean? Hakavona Hashemipli Habeit Alzeh Shadas Aseichel Agoli Ein Roy Shum Makam Lozeh. What it means is that, notwithstanding the fact that when you look at it with your seichel, it doesn't, you don't see any reason why Dafka Mashiach should come Dafka in this time. It doesn't make any sense at all. Even so, Maminu Manu B'Teikav HaAmuna, we still believe with this, with the full force of our Amuna, Shalomayla metamadas, Amunah, of course, is transcends tamadas. So the fact that seichel doesn't, you don't see it, but seichel doesn't mean that the Amunah can't be there. V'zehu avodah shel hesach hadas, and this is indeed what hesach hadas means. So dafka through in this time, that's taka the time when Mashiach should come. V'yedei Amunah zu ben David bo b'kirav v'karim mamish, and through this Amunah, that's when Mashiach comes, and it'll be b'karim mamish.